On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Matt, welcome back to a fresh week. I first got to apologize to our listeners. I know this is later than normal when we usually drop our first episode of the week, but some scheduling changes with work and stuff is you're going to see episodes for the next couple of days coming out later, but that's okay. It gives us a chance to listen to some of the audio and listen to the guys in training camp, which starts week two, Matt, and we are in preseason week. Bulls playing their first preseason game on Friday, but how are you doing, man? Let's just forget the Bears game, right?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, I was gonna say I'm still trying to shake off that Bears game from yesterday, but I feel like my excitement and anticipation for Bulls preseason on Friday made quick work of shaking off that Bears game and probably just that Bears season in general. I think I'm ready to move on. And it's just crazy, you know, like the last time you and I were on the mics together was Thursday of last week, and I feel like we have gotten so much content over the last 4 days that it's like it's baffling to me that we were still doing 4 or 5 shows a week through the pandemic where there was literally nothing going on. Because now I feel like, oh my gosh, we heard every member of this Bulls roster speak once, sometimes twice. We've gotten all these sound bites from the coach. We've gotten all these sound bites from the front office. I feel like I'm drowning in Bulls news, but it's a really good thing.
Seriously, that is 100% it. And I feel like some of the storylines, I get it, it's just training camp, but still, some of the storylines just kind of being overshadowed by really bad football in this town. So we're here to fill you in on all of the good Bulls nuggets and news that we learned over the past several days. So the next couple of days, you'll hear us kind of walking through, talking some of the best points that each one of the players that spoke, and same thing with Billy Donovan, who spoke a handful of times since the last time we podcasted, Matt. But let's start with the players. First of all, anything that stood out from you before the weekend had started? I know we had Daniel Gafford and we had Thaddeus Young speak to the media for the first time, and this weekend we got Thomas Satoransky and Otto Porter to talk for the first time as well. So plenty of good stuff to get in there. But first, what was your impressions, takeaways from Daniel Gafford and Thaddeus Young?
Well, I mean, if you're starting with Gafford, you can't not first, you know, my first takeaway was his answer to, I think it was Casey Johnson who asked him the question about like, hey, so you were like playing video games and fielding like a Q&A session on Twitch over the summer, and somebody asked you about Jim Boylan, and you were not exactly super nice about what you
like
thought
Jim
of him.
Boylan. Yeah.
And referencing that. And I just thought that Gafford was really interesting and basically standing his ground and saying, hey, man, I wasn't trying to trash him. I was just giving my honest opinion of the dude. And I thought it was constructive criticism. I thought that was really cool of Gafford to clear the air and say, yeah, like I did check in with Jim after that and let him know, hey, nothing personal. But he also like didn't like, you know, take back anything that he said.
Yeah, I had contact with Jim, you know, just made sure that I cleared the air that it wasn't anything, you know, intentional or anything, that I was just trying to bash him or anything like that. That was nothing like that at all. But whenever it happened, you know, I just basically let it come out. I wasn't meaning anything, you know, too mean or anything like that. Everybody was saying, oh, I'm bashing him, I'm being mean, I'm just talking down on him or anything like that. That was basically constructive criticism, in my opinion. I mean, everybody else has their, you know what I'm saying, they got their own opinion about what I said, but what I was meaning was, you know, it's just constructive criticism. I mean, you know, Jim was a great coach when he was here. He did all that he could, and he worked his tail off for the team. So
that's a great point. And look, I think, yeah, it did get a little bit overblown, and just maybe because we were kind of taken aback, because we don't normally hear Bulls players be able to be as candid as they were. Normally, we're getting the sound bites that we're used to. But that one, we kind of were caught off guard, especially at a time with no Bulls news for a while. That was like the only thing we could talk about. But man, I will take it. If you're going to be upfront and honest with me, but have good intent behind it, I will take it 100%. I'm sure Boylan knew exactly what he was talking about, because Boylan sort of preached that same thing, is he would say things that were honest and most people wouldn't like at that time. But I'm cool with it. Like, Daniel Gafford going to be honest upfront and came from a good place.
Yeah, and I think that maybe part of the reason why, and Jordan, I remember you and I talking about this little, you know, piece of Gafford Twitch news on an episode that when it happened, and it was, I want to say, mid to late July, right? So Bulls fans are going stir crazy. We're not in the bubble. We have no games to watch. We got nothing going on. We have a new front office that's been in power for a couple of months now, maybe 3 months now. But by the way, Jim Boylan's still here. Why the hell is Jim Boylan still here? And that was the context of hearing those comments from Daniel Gafford. So I think Bulls fans were all like, okay, what else do we need? What other evidence do we need that nobody on this roster thinks that Jim Boylan is the right man for this job? And why is he still here? And I think that was just in a time when the fan base's impatience was really bubbling over, and it kind of blew it out of proportion.
No, I totally agree with that. And like, that's what we were talking about even the last 3 years, man. We've said it time and time again. There's things to react to, and then there's a lot of things that happen when things are in turmoil that people tend to overreact to. And it is nice. Like, we didn't even get the opportunity to like follow up with Gafford immediately after that happened to say like, hey, let me just clear the air real fast. This is what happened. And that kind of sucks for him, because then it got lingered out there for months and months, and people didn't really get the honest truth out of him. And finally, we've got it. So that's good to hear. All right, so somebody else who was speaking too at the same time, Matt, and we can kind of go back and forth with Gafford and Thaddeus Young, but here is Thaddeus Young talking about more about the competitiveness and what went on last year, his relationship with coaches, but I thought this was awesome. The first 10 games, he talks about the competitiveness level and how fans will be able to see that within the first games, and something we didn't even get into, Matt, is the NBA schedule being released, and we definitely need to talk about that. Let's listen to Thaddeus Young, though.
I mean, we wouldn't know until we start playing games, actual games, like, you know, regular season games. So I usually try to look at it like within the first 10 games to see and try to like analyze certain things. But, you know, it's with anything. Everything takes time. And over the course of time, you know, if you keep doing something repetitiously, you know, you get better. And, you know, I think that's what we're setting out to do. We're setting out to come and just put in the work each and every day and make sure that we try to get better each and every day as a team.
You know, and that's something that Billy Donovan's been talking about a lot, Matt, is, and like, they've been asked too about chemistry with this team and how things have been going in practices and if they've been able to find some consistency within each other and what that's going to look like a month from now, less than a month from now, when they start playing games, and even on Friday when they start preseason games. But I thought it is interesting, although he didn't give us a lot there, still, to put it in context with the Bulls' first 20 games. I mean, it is apparent that those first 10 games are going to be critical for this Bulls season.
Yeah, and some of Thad's other comments, he did answer honestly to say, you know, he's concerned about COVID, just like all the players in the league right now, knowing that they're going to be traveling around and not in a bubble, and worrying about the health of not only themselves, but their families and things like that. And, you know, it's just an even bigger challenge that the Bulls are going to face, being a team that after a three-game homestand to open the season, they then go on the road and play 10 of their next 13 on the road, including an early West Coast trip, which, you know, under normal circumstances, the Bulls don't do their big West Coast trip until much later in the season. So it's not only the travel, but it's the strength of schedule that Thad was referring to. you open at home against the Hawks, Trae Young, and the improved roster around him. Oladipo, Sabonis, and the Pacers. Steph and the Warriors. Then you got not a back-to-back, but two games against the Wizards in the span of three nights, who, by the way, now have Russell Westbrook alongside Bradley Beal. And then you go Milwaukee on New Year's Day. Oh, and then you get to play Luka and the Mavs 2 days after that. Oh, and then Portland. Like, it's a gauntlet of a schedule.
I thought we avoided the god-awful schedule when we didn't have to play in March towards the end. That 6-week schedule was insane, man. And we talked about it. We were like, the Bulls may not win a game in March or April. It's getting to that point. That's how brutal the schedule is at the end. And I feel like the NBA was like, yeah, you know what? Let's make up for that back end of the schedule by hammering the Bulls with 20 straight games. And in a legitimate scenario where, if things go off the rails a little bit, or they're still trying to find their chemistry in those first 10 games. I mean, man, the Bulls could be looking at being 2-6 or 1-7 or even 0-8 to start the season. And that's not necessarily to criticize any of the guys or this formula. It's just, this is all so new. Even though you've got pieces that have been together for a while, you have a new system, you have a new coach, new front office, new philosophy, and that can take some time to implement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think as much as it might be difficult, and I certainly am not, putting myself on a pedestal here, I'm sure it'll be difficult for me too, but for Bulls fans to keep that in perspective as we get out of the gate this season, this is still a very young team, despite, a couple of vets like Thad and the addition of Garrett Temple. It is a team under new coaching. It's going to be a new system. I'm sure there's going to be some growth pains, along the way with that. And coupling that and the difficulty of their schedule, I don't think that this team is going to jump out to some amazing start that maybe some of the fan base is hoping for. But I don't think that the fans should miss the forest for the trees, because at least in my opinion, this season is about evaluating. Yes, hopefully some internal growth and internal development from some of these young pieces who were lost in the forest, under Jim Boylan's misguided tutelage this past year and a half. But as far as teams and wins and losses, it's not going to be, I think, as rosy as some Bulls fans might hope. Not to say that they can't, fight their way through that first brutal part of the schedule and keep themselves in the hunt for, reminder, a expanded playoff picture. I think that's certainly possible. It's just, don't expect too much too soon. Jordan, lots more thoughts from Thad and Gafford in their first availability in training camp. Before we do that, though, I want to tell our Locked On Bulls listeners about Built Bar. You guys have been hearing us tell you about Built Bar. If you haven't tried them yet, I don't know why. They are delicious. They are great protein bars that taste like a candy bar. They've recently introduced 6 new flavors of Built Bars, including cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. To go along with some of the old classic flavors, some of my favorites, banana bread, mint brownie, and salted caramel, among others. These bars are covered in 100% pure chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and Built Bars are great for the healthy, conscious sports fan. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in these delicious treats. The Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Everything that you want, and not too much of that stuff that's bad for you. Great for the keto diet. Take, for example, the peanut butter bar. 19 whole grams of protein, just 180 calories. Only 5 grams of sugar and just 5 grams of net carbs. And right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners can go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
One other thing that I thought was kind of interesting, along with a lot of people talking highly of Coby White, which we can get into some of that, Matt, but the only thing I worry about, and I guess maybe it's just I'm a worrier in general, so my worry is that there's going to be a little bit too much pressure on Coby to live up to all these high expectations that fans might have in year two for him, or even some all of these positive things that people are saying about him. I just hope that doesn't create unnecessary pressure for him, especially early on in a season where he's trying to learn his teammates, trying to learn the offense. But man, from everything we've heard between Thad, Daniel Gafford to Billy Donovan to even some of the guys in his teammates last year that we can talk about, and Thomas Satoransky. Like, they've all talked about the step that Kobe has taken and is ready to take on this this quote-unquote leader of the offense, or the primary ball handler of the offense. Do you sense that when you listen to any of these guys talk over the first week? Do you have any of those thoughts, or is it me worrying too much?
I mean, yes, I think that you're not wrong to be concerned about the immense pressure that, and I don't think it's necessarily his teammates. I think his teammates and his new coach, Billy Donovan, have been nothing but supportive of Kobe. And I've really, in particular, appreciated some of the things Billy Donovan has said about how challenging it is for young players at that position to make the switch from college to the NBA, especially those who are one and done guys, because the speed of the NBA game is just on a completely different level than college. And you're asking young guys who are still developing their games to also be the smartest players on the floor and be the floor general and be the guy who always makes the right decision and cuts out the, you know, the unforced errors and things like that. And that's a lot to put on the plate of one young point guard. And Billy Donovan is aware of that. He's a guy who played that position himself. You know, I think under his guidance, and of course also bringing in the assistant Mo Cheeks, who has experience playing in the backcourt at the highest levels from his playing days, they're going to help Kobe get through that. So, you know, I don't think if anyone is putting too many expectations and too much pressure on Kobe, it's the fan base, in my opinion.
That's a good point, man. Like, and maybe it's the, like, maybe it's to an extent, just like take the training wheels off at this point. You got to let them try and make mistakes and fail and fall and get back up again in order to grow. And like the fact that everybody pretty much across the board has confidence enough and just says glowing things about Kobe, man, is so nice to hear and so refreshing to hear too. And I know, like, guys on their team, of course, they're going to support their teammates when they're talking to the media. All of that makes sense, but I don't think it's just for the sake of saying things, you know, and just being a nice teammate. I think they genuinely believe that. And you listen to guys who've been in the league for a decade, like Thad has, and the way how highly and how glowing he talks about him too. And even somebody like a veteran like Thomas Satoransky, while he's only been here 4 years, he's still talked about how Kobe has all the skills to become that primary playmaker. And man, I'm excited for it. So maybe I'm just worrying a little bit too much. And maybe more of my concern should be focused on the expectations for rookie Patrick Williams. But let's hear from Thomas Satoransky and him talking about basically taking a step back in his role on the team and allowing Kobe White to become the primary ball handler, what he thinks about that.
And yeah, for sure. I think he deserved that. I think I really liked the progress he did last season, especially that how he ended up the year, you know, from after All-Star break. He had an unbelievable run. And I think even when I saw him, like, after 9 months, I think he did a huge progress. You could tell that he was working out a lot. I can see the difference from also mental standpoint and how it's been, you know, from conversation with each other that he really matured over that year. And I think he deservedly should be, you know, in this role, you know. And I think I like what he said about the other day, that it's all about us competing, you know, and helping each other in practices. And that's what we do. You know, our relationship is really good, and it's always been that way. And I'm happy for him, and happy and ready just to help him with anything he needs.
Did you kind of see this coming, that eventually he probably was going to take that role, even though it was yours at the start of last year?
Well, he definitely deserved it at the end of the last year. You know, I went through the struggle at the end. My body felt very tired at the end. And, you know, he was playing the best basketball in his NBA career. And, you know, so like I said, he really deserved this one. But then obviously with COVID, you know, I didn't think about it that much. For me, the most important part was really to get my body ready, to get to work on some stuff that bothered me last year from, you know, healthy standpoints, and, you know, be ready for the next season. And I really didn't worry about this much.
I know we've talked a lot about potentially Thomas Satoransky getting dealt at some point this season, and I know he's an asset a lot of teams would love to have, but Matt, hearing him, and I know we didn't hear a ton from him throughout the entire season last year, but hearing him is refreshing as well. He's honest again. He's somebody that's honest and talks about some of the struggles that they had last year, but also the opportunity, and looks at from an optimistic viewpoint, which I think is has been something that Bulls fans maybe haven't heard from their players and so confidently too. I just thought that was really cool, hearing Satoransky talk so highly and so glowingly of White, and then just kind of allowing the baton to be passed, even though he was dealt here for the reason a year ago to be the main point guard of this team. It's kind of cool that he's kind of passing the baton and understands now what his role is going to be on this team.
Yeah, it was just an incredibly selfless thing to hear him say, which is encouraging. You always are aware that some of those locker room frictions can exist when guys think that they should be getting more minutes. They think they should be a starter, but they're not. I mean, you hear veteran NBA players, retired NBA players. I mean, like Kendall and Will would talk to us about it all the time when John and Big Dave and I would be like, dude, start, sit, like come off the bench, whatever. It's like, it's about minutes. It's not about starting. And they both were quick to shut us down every time and be like, no, shut up. Starting matters in the NBA. Players care who starts. And we're like, oh, okay. Sorry, Mr. Purdue. Sorry, Mr. Gill. like, I think it is a immensely important thing to these guys who all have egos. If you made it this far as a professional athlete, you got to have some level of ego because it drives you. And the fact that Sato was able to not only praise Kobe, who had that incredible flourish to his cut short rookie season, but the fact that he also was able to admit to the media and himself, like, yeah, I really struggled. He had an inconsistent year. He was not knocking down his shot with as much consistency as we were hoping. He wasn't being the perfect piece of the puzzle for the starting five. Jordan, you remember, I'm sure our listeners remember, when we signed him last offseason, and so a huge portion of the Bulls fan base was saying, start Kobe out of the gate, like game one as a rookie, a 19-year-old rookie. They want him to start. And I was like, that's too much. You were just talking about putting too much pressure on him in year two. I didn't want to put that much pressure on him out of the gate year one. And I thought Sato could be a guy who could kind of work, you know, around the fringes and really just let Zach and Lowry and Wendell blossom. Cause I thought that was the point of last season. And none of it worked out that way, and that sucks. And silver lining, this kid Kobe comes in and has an incredible finish to the season, and the veteran whose job he's about to take is sitting here saying, yeah, that kid's good. I'm happy for him.
That's so true, and I'm thinking about it in terms of, like, Satoransky, all we need him to do is playmake. Find your open shooters. Keep a handle on the ball consistently. Take care of the ball consistently. That's all we need him to do, and maybe knock down a three here and there. Like, that's what we need. And Billy Donovan, I think, is the perfect coach for him. And it's the kind of the mold that we had been talking about over the last several weeks, Matt, about what players AK and Mark Eversley are looking for, but not only them, Billy Donovan and his staff. What kind of players are they looking for, and what are the skill sets that they're looking for? And a lot of the ones that we listed, even the free agents, Matt, and I know there was only really technically two, but that plus the draft picks, man, a lot of them came up with guys that can move off the ball and on the ball, guys that can play make, and guys that can shoot and score. That, I think, all lines and bodes well for Satoransky having a bounce back year this year. So guys like him just need to get the balls to the shooters, protect the ball, and allow your shooters to flourish. You have plenty of them on this team and not enough playmakers. So I think Satoransky's going to have a bounce back year, man. And I hope that opportunity allows Kobe White to flourish offensively this year without having to focus so much on, hey, I got to make sure this offense is being ran exactly perfect. I need to make sure that I'm doing things at all times. And maybe he can just sit back and do what he's really, really good at, and that's shooting the ball.
Yeah, and I think that's why you've seen some of these roster decisions pan out the way that they have, kind of like you were alluding to, because you talk about putting too much pressure on a second-year point guard who's still only 20 years old. And Billy Donovan has said, yes, we're looking at Kobe being a primary ball handler, but we have also seen AK and Eversley and Donovan bring in guys like Garrett Temple, a veteran who is, you know, a Swiss Army knife, who can handle the ball. You know, he handled the ball plenty in his NBA journeyman career. He's more than capable. Otto Porter Jr. told us that he was working primarily on his ball handling all offseason. And gee, I wonder if that was from the instructions of the new front office and the new coach. We know Zach LaVine can certainly handle the ball himself. Lowry, we're going to continue to hopefully see him expand upon his ball handling abilities. It's like everywhere you turn, we're now gearing towards having a team that, yes, okay, we're talking about Coby White starting point guard, but everybody on this roster, even the rookie Pat Williams, has shown an ability to put the ball on the floor in his young basketball career and will hopefully continue to grow that part of this game. There's going to actually be a multi-ball handler system and not the fake one that failed under Jim Boylan.
It's so weird, too, that it works to an extent. We always talk about it. It works for one half. His schemes worked for one half normally, but then Jim Boylan was the king of never making adjustments, and then the Bulls would just get pounded night after night in the third and the fourth quarter. That's why you see them. That's why we've talked about last week, Matt. The Bulls were in 33 games that they either led by 5 points or within 5 points in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. You don't do that and go 11-21 the way the Bulls did without not making adjustments the way Jim Boylan did all season long, and just blamed things like heart and energy and spirit and all of
that. Not to mention that by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, their points allowed per 100 possessions in the fourth quarters were grotesquely worse than the first quarters, because they had been running around doing their stupid blitzing defense all night under the instructions of Jim Boylan.
With his physical attributes, you know, being able to go out there and be a 3-and-D type player, being able to make shots, but also locking up on the other end, but also getting in transition. You know, he has, as a 19-year-old, he has some of the biggest hands I've ever seen. So him being able to do stuff off the dribble and being able to make plays and, you know, just using his natural ability and his physical attributes and the learning aspect and the learning curve and stuff, it will come, you know, just with time, you know, just as much time as you can get him on the court and him playing and understanding and getting a feel for the game, it's just going to make him better.
Somebody sent that to me this weekend about just Patrick Williams' hand size. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. That was actually Thad Young. So, you know, those comments carry even more weight from somebody who's been in the NBA as long as he has. And I mean, that's one of the first things people were talking about when those, you know, I think you and I took a voicemail or a text at some point last week when somebody was talking about the Kawhi comps. And it's like, okay, well, reason 1A that people suddenly seem to be obsessed with the comps of Kawhi is hand size, because Kawhi has those giant claws and Pat Williams has some giant claws. But it's not just that. I mean, you talk about what Thad has seen from him already in training camp. Even some of the videos that, yes, they are selective and chosen and shared by Bulls social media. So they're, you know, hey, we even got to see a slow-mo, you know, replay of Felicio knocking down a 15-footer. But one of the videos that they shared was Felicio Will.
I'm not sure.
Absolutely. Do you see the one where he absolutely bodies Otto?
No, I did. I missed that. But you know what? I did see him on a post-Zoom call that they posted a few days ago. I will say this. Felicio looks in the best shape of his life, man. I don't know what that says about him overall the last 4 years he's been here. But, dude, he looks like he dropped like legitimately 20 or 30 pounds and like looks like the player he should have been the last 3 years. But I don't know how that translates to the floor, if at all.
I don't know how that translates to anything, but I will tell you what, I am excited at some of the stuff we're seeing for Pat Will in training camp already.
That's for sure, man. I am so excited to just actually get to see him play and play consistently too. And I think that he's going to get a good opportunity to do that. And we can talk a little bit more about that because Otto Porter had some comments on Patrick Williams, and as well as Patrick Williams talked earlier today. So we will get to all of that on tomorrow's episode. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls, including all of those other players, wrap up some of the coaching stuff from the first week of camp. Matt and I will probably dissect a little bit into the Bulls' first 20 games and also some highlights from their schedule as that was released as well. You can hit us up with your thoughts at 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful night. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com